Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This sermon is going to be the greatest sermon ever. No, wait. Not quite right. This sermon is going to be about the greatest sermon ever. And that is because, as Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, we call it the perfect prayer. Nobody can do better than God Himself. And so if He teaches, it is the best, the greatest. And so likewise, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapters 5 through 7, as preached by the Lord Jesus, is the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus' words there cover a large variety of material. And as it is Jesus preaching, it is a very big deal. It deserves, then, our utmost attention. The scripture reading of the Beatitudes that we have there from our gospel text for today usually appears in connection with All Saints' Day. And so the preaching of the Word of God reflects that theme. Today, however, we will take a look at these opening verses, the Beatitudes, and see how they serve to set the tone for the rest of Jesus' great sermon. It is helpful to note that the Apostle Matthew records these words of Jesus in the Greek, the word blessed, as an adjective each and every time. This blessedness aspect is describing the various kinds of people and their conditions. It is crucial to see that none of this that Jesus is speaking here is prescriptive. That is, in these opening statements of Jesus' great sermon, Jesus is not prescribing behaviors required of any people in order to be blessed. Rather, the blessedness of the Lord Jesus is declared, and thus it is given as gift to the poor in spirit, to those who mourn, to the meek, to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. As a result of this gospel-centered blessing, the poor in spirit thus possess the kingdom of heaven. Because of Christ's love, the meek shall inherit the earth. Due to Jesus' gift of grace, those who mourn will be perfectly comforted. As a result of Jesus' forgiveness and salvation won by His suffering and death upon the cross, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will find themselves fully satiated, hungering and thirsting no more. The next grouping of the Beatitudes following those first four states the kind of change that occurs in those who are truly blessed to receive Christ's grace through faith. God's people who believe in Jesus will be given mercy and will thus be merciful to others. Faith in Christ changes the heart of the Christian, allowing them then to see God through the eyes of faith. And on the last day, with their own eyes in the flesh. And because of that grace of God in Christ Jesus, His followers will seek to make peace with others. And as such, they shall be called the sons of God. And with Christians still living here, in this broken and sinful world, behind the enemy lines of sin and the devil, you can expect to be persecuted because the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature cannot tolerate the true holiness and righteousness of God, nor that of you, His people. And so the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God's mercy and grace, belongs to such as these who are persecuted. These blessings given out by the Lord Jesus are to serve as constant companions and reminders for the followers of Jesus. As the baptized of Christ, you will suffer persecution. You will be reviled for your faith. You have likely already experienced this in some way, shape, or form in your human lives. Friends who mock you for going to church or Bible class instead of away with them for the weekend. Teachers criticizing you in school for bowing your heads in prayer. Family members who look down upon you because you are committed to the Christian faith. Attackers and trolls coming out in full force when you share your faith in comments on social media platforms. The Lord Jesus calls you to remember that you are baptized. You are marked by Him as His own. His seal is placed upon you. Thus, you are sacred to Him, special in His sight. For in Him, you have already overcome this world, and your joy and your victory are complete in Christ. Through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus unfolds what the life of the followers of Christ will look like. The descriptions there truly can be daunting for us to undertake. Be salt and light in this world. Keep control of your anger. Do not let your eyes wander and lead you into lust. Be committed to your marriages. Do not take oaths, but yet let your yes be yes and your no be no. Keep your desire for revenge in check. Love your enemies. Care for all those who are in need around you. Control your earthly urges and your desires. Keep your focus on eternal life with Christ and His great kingdom. Do not allow your anxiety to rule you and to determine your thinking in this life. Refrain from judging others and do unto them as you would have them do unto you. Now, if a person is led to believe that this is all that is required for salvation, these words are truly overwhelming. If sinners are taught to believe that these things are prerequisites for receiving blessings from God, then why even bother? No one can achieve these tasks perfectly. You and I, we can't even get close to being good enough for God's grace. If that is the thinking with these words of Jesus, then a complete shift of thought is desperately needed. Consider a certain student of one karate master who thinks that he is being deceived by his teacher. He has been doing all sorts of manual labor tasks and seeing no reason for any of it. Finally, the teacher reveals to the student that these tasks have actually been training the student all along. And when the student is able finally to demonstrate and experience his new skills, his eyes are opened to his teacher's planning all along. You and I, we are so guided to see that what we are to be, and as the people of God, as Christians, that all flows from our identities given already as the baptized of Christ. You already belong to Him. His inheritance, that of Christ, it belongs to you. And so now you live this life by His good grace, with the Lord Jesus Himself living through you. Christ is the one in action, and He is in action in you in action through you. Knowing this, knowing all that Jesus has done for you, appreciating His grace and His mercy, you are all too thrilled then to delight in His will, to walk in His ways as we confess. And yet, quite naturally, you and I, we continue on in sin to wrestle against this great delight in Christ. For our old sinful flesh continues to go down that well-worn path, that comfort of the darkness and the gloom of sin we know so well. And God permits this, so that we continue to return to Him over and over again by His pulling, by His word, by His power. For no matter how long you and I go along in this faith, how we even grow in the faith, you and I, we always need Jesus. His love and His forgiveness remain constant needs in this sinful life. And lest we ever forget that our salvation is purely God's doing, we reflect on the Beatitudes taught by Jesus. You remember that you are blessed because of God. He is the one who blesses, and you receive His action of blessing. Salvation is always Christ's doing, His action. And He reveals this to you each week so that you remember, so you are strengthened in this as you hear His word and receive His forgiveness, life, and salvation in His supper. He reminds you, His dear people, of His deeds for you, as He did for those of the Old Testament in Micah chapter 6. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you from the house of slavery. Without God's action, you and I cannot be His people. And so, God acts. The Lord Jesus comes here and acts for you. He has come here for your benefit, to bless you with eternal life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins that He purchased and won fully for you by His own death upon the cross. And Jesus thus declares you blessed, that is, saved. And so you are. You who are poor in spirit, meek, mourning, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He makes you merciful, bringers of peace, pure in heart. And though you are persecuted, you are already conquerors, for you are comforted, for the kingdom of heaven is truly yours. You who see God in His dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and into life everlasting. Amen.